Welcome to the Afterthoughts podcast. It is book release day.
Woo!
Book release
single
day.
Today is live.
Woo! Let's go.
You said wherever you could buy books. Let me test that out. Amazon?
Yes.
Barnes & Noble?
Yes.
Those are the only two places.
Tattered Cover at Concourse B at Denver International Airport.
I'm hoping for it.
Books Million. Yeah.
Yes.
Books website.
Yeah.
Perfect. Half price books.
Not yet. Hope,
not yet. Probably soon.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of copies I'm selling there.
Dude, good call.
Day I walk into Half Press Books, which I do often, and my book's just there. that'll just mean somebody was like, eh.
Goodwill.
I'm done with this.
Not going to keep it, but yeah. I had it for a while.
But I bought it.
When we announced that the book was coming a while back, I had this copy.
That's right.
Come to find out, I read the whole thing. It was phenomenal.
It wasn't just good, it was great.
By Jim Collins, which is also a good book.
Make that? So you tricked yourself?
But that wasn't the book. This is the real book.
It's here, man. How does it feel?
Great texture on the cover. What's that called?
Yeah, just a matte.
Matte finish.
Why are books
always more expensive in Canada?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, Canada. How much is it in Canada?
The younger brother tax, $24.95.
Wow.
But $18, a bargain in the U.S.
Yes. Inflation.
I notice on the back, it's got your bio and Afterthoughts podcast.
I had to make sure to get Afterthoughts on there.
Any reference to AG1 on there? AG1 was the power in the blood of my veins to write this book.
He is the co-host of two podcasts, Stories in Scripture, a show that brings the Bible to life for people all around the world, and Afterthoughts, a weekly conversation about faith, culture, and the church, which is probably the best description of the podcast. We've never really had that here.
You're welcome.
We never really tell people what it is.
You're welcome, guys.
Good job.
I put that together.
You are an author.
And
man,
since I wrote that bio,
take a picture before I sell this at Half Price Books.
The Single Today podcast as well. So it's actually three podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Now you got the Single Today podcast. How's that podcast going?
It's going really well.
Good. Yeah.
I'm having fun with it.
Nice.
Yeah. It'll just be for the season of this book, but every Friday I put out an episode and opportunity to take a deeper dive into some of this content. And so check out the Single Today podcast.
Where at, Ryan?
On my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And also on Apple and Spotify.
You've got a website, ryanweckenman.com.
.com.
That's official.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you go there.
I bought it 5 years ago, then I sold
the domain
for $10,000.
That's who sold it to me. Smart.
I have yours too. I have everybody's. Raw, relatable, and encouraging.
Yeah.
By Granger Smith. That's really
Shout
cool.
Shout out to Granger. He's
Come
the
on.
Best, man.
That's Tell us really about cool. Granger.
Yeah. He just means the world, man. He's a... lives a little bit north of here. He's an amazing author, but also was a country music singer for years, but is just diving headfirst into ministry.
Cool.
So he has an amazing podcast, and is just, he's so into diving so deep into theology, so into the Bible, so into preaching, and all that. And I'm just so proud of him for stepping into
That's
ministry.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
And you've got praise for Single Today from Jeff Tacklin.
Jeff, shout out to Jeff Tacklin.
What a legend.
That's a great
the
guy.
Best.
Our boy Ben Higgins.
Of course.
Stephanie Wilson.
Nice.
Let's go, Steph.
It's Come a good on. List of people.
By the way,
I've heard of him.
John Johnson.
Stephanie Mae Wilson has a book coming out next week.
Nice.
I saw that. What's it called?
So fun. So it's called Create the Life You Love.
Create the Life You Love.
And
Steph,
college
let's
friend
go.
Of ours.
Come
great,
on.
Great yeah. gal.
Very yeah. fun.
She's done awesome.
To launch
awesome.
Books.
Mm-hmm. Back to back.
That's really cool.
Okay.
How does it feel that it's here? You've been anticipating this for 4 years.
Wild, man.
There's a real book.
Yeah. How does it feel? Is that what you asked? Feels great on your cheek.
I asked Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
How does it feel?
It's wild,
you were
man.
Asking me how the actual book feels.
I know you thought that.
Okay. I feel... a lot of different things today. Mm-hmm. I feel there's a lot of relief, of course, but then just excitement. The fact that people are like reading it and reviewing it and texting me and letting me know their favorite parts about it.
Yeah.
And like giving me feedback. That's really like an author's dream, is to start to hear how the pages are affecting people in real life.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. It's you had a very cool book release party.
Yes.
That you actually invited us to. So Doug and I got
to go. Do you guys believe that you got an invitation to it?
Yes.
It's fair. But
you were
talking about
so it's good.
Yes. It was good to be there. Good to be invited to something.
Yep.
That was nice.
Always is, right?
You've always wanted to be invited
I've always wanted to be invited to a party. You were talking about like the coolest part of this for you is just the individual lives.
Yep.
where somebody will read this and it will be life-changing for them, which has got to be kind of a crazy thing to think about, because there will be people that you'll never meet, that you have no ties to, but they'll find this book on Amazon or, you know, through a friend or whatever. What's that like, thinking of the audience that this will reach?
That's the coolest part. I think that's why I like books so much, is I get asked all these questions about singleness, and I want to. In the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, I have my 30-second answer for you.
Right.
But I also have my six-hour answer for you. Nobody has time to like sit there and listen to that. And so I realized like the best way to really put this message together in a cohesive way, in a way that I just really trust and believe in, is to write a book. Mm-hmm. And so now it's so fun to be like, here's my answer to this question that you just asked. Read this book or listen to it on Audible.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think is really getting to me. And the fact that some people, like somebody may live in, I don't know, Maine.
For example.
You can see that.
Massachusetts.
New Hampshire.
I could see that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Michigan.
That's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
Delaware.
Sure.
Great. Phoenix. I could see that.
Any of these states that we're saying.
Tahoe.
In others.
Also Canada. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although they do have to pay a little more.
Yeah. The paupers in Canada.
that is cool.
Prince, it's paupers is not rich.
People. A really cool way to like scale a message.
Yeah.
Which like, of course we know that, but it's like sinking in for me today. And so, yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
Special, man.
Ryan's written a book.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your parents are disappointed in you that you've never accomplished anything, Doug?
Yeah, but not like just today they started feeling disappointed.
True. That's been kind of always the case.
Mom sent me a book called Disappointed Today, and it's dedicated to Doug.
Yeah, to my oldest son, Doug.
No, it's called Disappointed Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. This will never change.
Just a picture of Doug on the cover.
Yeah. Disappointing Doug.
Disappointed in Doug.
Tell us really quick about is it called The Dedication?
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
so
that's
good.
That's my favorite part.
It made me laugh so hard when I thought of it.
Yeah, that's as far as I've gotten into the book so far. So.
Okay, so you get the book.
It's really good so far.
Yeah, I love
it. And you realize it's a book about singleness. and the whole book, the whole premise is single today. And the best part about talking about singleness to the church, which we can get all into, is what always happens is you'll get a bunch of people coming up to you being like, yeah, I'm just like totally content being single too. And I've just put it all down and I'm so content being single. And you can tell they have their like fingers crossed behind their backs.
Yeah.
If they like, stayed enough times that maybe they'll start to feel it.
Because you hear it like
or
every-
they'll just meet somebody because they said it.
Dude, at every like wedding speech, the bride or groom's always like, it's when I stopped looking that God brought this person.
Always.
So they hear that and they're like, so I need to tell everyone that I've stopped looking.
Well, I don't even care. I don't want a date. So
God, I'm content.
Where is
And so just to throw stones at all of that, I wrote a book called Single Today, and then the dedication, you open it and it just says, to my future spouse, JK, LOL.
Brilliant.
And I was very, very proud of that. Mm-hmm. It's a book about being content today, being present today, not about the future.
That's right.
And so
because most
that.
Books and sermons and series in churches that are about singleness are, and not throwing shade at any of this, but written or preached by pastors who have been married for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the sermon or book is more about like, hey, in the meantime, here's kind of how you get to.
Here's how you enjoy your layover.
Exactly. Here's how you make the most of this, because what God's got next for you in marriage, this is more preparation, but to have a book about singleness written, not about a layover, not about the getting to the destination, but what if today you're in a destination and you find contentment and meaning in this, and it's not about preparation, it's about presence in the moment.
Right.
And it's written by a guy who is single, who lives it, and is content. That is one of the many things that sets this book apart.
Thank you, man.
That's right.
Thank you.
Well, we have a great support system here at the Afterthoughts podcast. We've got the Cobster, Josh Capers. We got so many people that have our back, that are trying to help with the messages getting out from this podcast. Mm-hmm. So let's just, I know you're as your agent Kyle said, you're a terrible salesman, but a great writer.
Terrible,
but what, terrible salesman. What are the best ways?
Oh, he was emphasizing the great writer part.
No, I heard
you
the
guys seem to be emphasizing the terrible part.
Terrible salesman. Just can't. That's your takeaway from last night.
Good news must invade bad spaces.
Okay, Ryan Weckenman is a terrible salesman. Is the first sentence on the back of this book. What are the best ways people can help? Obviously, buy the book.
Yep.
What's the preferred place to buy the book? Is there? Is that
no?
The thing?
No. Okay. At this point, Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon.
Target.
It's on.
Wow. Yeah,
it's on Target.com.
Ever heard of it?
I don't know.
Yeah. And just bought Zeke a Mandalorian weapon there.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah. Nice.
Could have picked up a
copy. Could have picked up today. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually in stores at Target. But by the way,
you can buy it on Target.com.
There you go, Target.com. And if you actually go to like Barnes & Noble and you see it in stores, it would be fun to like take a picture of it there.
Tag
and,
Ryan.
And post about
tag
that.
Red Rocks Austin.
Because it could be cool to like see that in the wild.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a cool idea.
Yep.
Yeah. Write reviews.
Yes.
I know that. Chandler said that was very helpful.
Reviews are super helpful. So as you're diving into it, if you hate it, maybe you don't write a review. Yeah. But if you love it,
well, people don't always apply that logic to our church on social media or YouTube, but that's fine.
That's
or
true.
Google.
They sure don't, man.
That's
those one-star reviews are awesome, especially when it's 11:30 at night and you get an email right before you're about to go to
bed. So-and-so just ripped you to shreds.
Yeah. Oh, that's
personally
fun.
On Google.
I was just hoping to get a few hours of sleep tonight, content. But now I won't.
You made that about me and we've never met.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very fun.
No, it's fine. Okay. So don't
write good reviews.
Yes,
good reviews. Awesome.
5 stars.
So the biggest ones there are Amazon. Obviously, wherever you buy it, review it there. So if you buy it on Amazon, review it on Amazon, and then put that onto Goodreads as well.
Goodreads
is this amazing community of a whole bunch of people have already read it on Goodreads because we can send early copies. Nice. And it's Goodreads is like a place for book lovers.
Cool.
And so yeah, writing reviews. They're like very meaningful reviews on Goodreads.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, putting that on Goodreads helps
review
a lot.
Share it, show it.
Yes.
Where'd you get the book? Okay.
Yeah.
Get the word out.
Yeah, get the word out. Groups, read it together. Mm-hmm. One of the chapters is called Single Not Alone. And it's so important that we have community, that we are doing this together.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I talked about this last night that you guys mean the world to me is I've always been single, but I've never been alone because I just have this amazing community.
Yeah.
And so if you have a book club or a group or whatever and you guys all want to read it together, that would be amazing.
I like the way you've broken the book apart, the different parts, yesterday,
tell me about
tomorrow,
it.
And then today.
Yes.
It's nice for my brain when things are
logically
broken apart so I can understand what's going on. Also, chapter 3 is called Sex, Shame, and Stoners. Intriguing.
Is there an explicit warning on the cover of that book? Or?
Yes. I will skip that chapter.
Yes. Chapter 3 is, it's probably the most vulnerable chapter in the book. Mm-hmm. But it's a topic like I talked about at church this weekend, diving into pornography, diving into sex and intimacy and what's God's design for all of it. You can't write a book about singleness without talking about it. And so we talk about all of it and I talk about all of it. And it's not I realize when I'm saying something vulnerable and I'm trying to hide, I say we instead of I, and I just caught myself. I said, we talk about it.
We do.
No, I talk about it.
Yeah. You do.
I wrote about it.
Yes.
And it's not just a surface level, like, so don't do it. You know, it's like a grace and truth chapter where I get really real and I dig deeper into, hey, what are the things, what's the pain that we are trying to medicate?
Yeah.
And let's learn how to heal from that.
It's awesome.
Because that's where I started finding freedom. So
I'm going to start reading something and I want to see if you can tell me where in the book it is.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Close your eyes.
What a fun game.
Yep. Okay. This is in quotes. All your mentors may be married, but have you ever thought that there are probably a lot of people younger than you searching for someone to look up to? It's a fair point. That's what the majority of my pastoral meetings end up turning into. Maybe you could write about that. I don't know, man, I said.
Stop. Okay, so this is from chapter 4. It's called The Tomorrow Trap. It's a section called What Hawaii Taught Me, and it's a conversation with me and Matt Fonz in Hawaii.
Nailed it. Let's go.
He wrote it.
He wrote this.
By the way, I love this conversation between you and Matt.
Shout out to Matt Fonz.
Let's go, Matt.
Matt, for those of you who don't know, the three of us talk often about a trip that we went on, and Matt was our fourth.
Matt at some point will be on this podcast, and that will be a great day.
He lives in Hawaii.
He lives in Hawaii.
Why would he ever leave Hawaii? Mm-hmm.
And I go there every summer, and those stories always make it into my books because Matt just knows how to ask really good questions. And maybe thank you, Matt Fons.
Maybe we go film this remote.
Afterthoughts Hawaii.
Afterthoughts on the road.
Just bring the sign. We'll put it up against a palm tree.
That'll be my carry-on.
And all the hats. We can't forget the hats. Yes. Yeah. And Corey's album. Yeah. Oh, Doug, you missed when Corey was here. We got a CD.
Wow, you have an actual CD.
A real CD. Yeah,
that's incredible.
New prop on set. I've got notes now. Notepad. So I just want to introduce
you. He's a big notepad guy now.
Taking notes now during episodes.
Wow.
Don't get freaked out if I'm writing. This isn't therapy. I'm not like, interesting. Doug said that.
Oh,
I'm just thinking about
wait,
things.
Wait, what are you writing down? Is it my body language? Is it something I said?
Don't let it make you insecure.
No. Do you guys ever have a counselor write stuff as you're talking?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think that was.
It messes with my head
for sure.
Oh, really? Not me.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm glad she's trying to remember this for later.
Yeah.
I'm like,
maybe that's my insecurity. When people are taking notes during your sermon, are you pumped or are you like, oh, they're writing a 1-star review to post about
this? I'm pumped because they're paying attention.
Yeah.
And they're not angry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are.
Well, could be.
Yeah.
I've been trying to wear blue shirts to match the book.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, just trying to promote it everywhere I can.
That's really good. I'm trying to wear black shirts to match the font color in the book.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. That does.
Yeah,
that
goes, if this, yeah.
That goes. If this book goes well, I'm going to bring that back to Doug's black shirt today.
You're welcome.
Happy to help.
Yep, it is. Yep. Oh, so you went with the black ink on white paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Man. Yeah, that was a big decision.
Yeah.
We had a whole meeting about it.
Hey, why don't you let me handle the props, Doug? I'd like to talk more about the book and contentment and some other things that I have here on my notepad. But first. Did you want to say something?
Well, we had a... The Nugget. We just
need to identify. We're living out of game two right now with the Nuggets came
the
back.
Nuggets
down
20
against the Nuggets
are up 2-0 on the Lakers.
And Jamal Murray hit a.
It was such a tough game. Meter. And then to have a buzzer.
Let's say I was watching it and I'm a guy who, with 45 seconds left, turned it off and went to bed. What happened?
Well, maybe Jacob can get the clip playing.
Okay,
here.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Ryan's going to go he's going to go think about it.
I don't know what he's doing.
I don't either, but I'll tell you about it.
Okay, yeah. There's a guy I think who knows a thing or two about the Nuggets game last night.
It was the most important moment of my life.
I believe you.
So
yeah,
the Nuggets had been down 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they go back and forth. LeBron hits two clutch threes, which was aggravating, just as aggravating as possible.
Mm.
But we keep fighting back. Game is tied. Mm-hmm. There's like 20-ish seconds left. LeBron, who... balancing statements. He's one of the best ever. One of not
LeBron,
the,
who shall remain nameless.
He listens to this podcast a lot, so I don't want him to feel like we're totally harping on him. But he's not. He doesn't have the clutch game winner gene.
Mm.
And of course, he missed a three.
Wait, is that true?
That is true.
Has that always been true?
Yeah.
Really?
In that situation, Michael Jordan hits that three 100 out of 100 times. Kobe Bryant, 98 out of 100 times. LeBron. Mm-hmm. 20 out of 100 times.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's just my math.
Okay.
He misses that. Then Jamal Murray.
Check those numbers.
Jamal Murray gets the ball back and just kind of hanging around. And we're all like, go, go, go. And then he just goes over to the corner, step back, two over Anthony Davis.
Mm.
Buzzer beater. First buzzer beater playoff win in Nuggets history. Ball arena erupts.
Phenomenal.
And it was over Anthony Davis.
Which was just special.
Ah, it was so good.
Who then fell into the Nuggets bench in the madness of all of them celebrating.
Yeah. My brother was at the game and texted me, I think I just saw a Lakers fan die.
Yeah.
Because of how upset they were.
Wow.
There's not a more satisfying team to beat, because guess what they all did after the game? Complain about the refs.
Oh, yeah.
And that's your team culture? Shocking. You're going to keep losing because you're not going to take accountability for the fact that you blew a 20-point lead.
Right.
And that's where the Nuggets will finish this series and continue on. And the
There's
Lakers
a sermon
will
metaphor there.
There is.
Who are the
no
refs in your life that you're blaming for your lack of change?
Right. Good right? question.
That's yes. so good, yeah. man.
You should text LeBron that.
I should. Oh, and who will carry me down to the water? There's nobody there to carry me when the water is stirred.
Maybe you should stop calling yourself the greatest if you're not going to be able to carry your team
there.
Oh,
I live in Canada and I can't find $25 to buy this book, even though I know it'll say it'll change my life. All the refs ruined my life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Canadian exchange rate is the refs for a lot of people sure, yeah. who are the refs. In this metaphor. This is good. I think this is valuable content.
You
right
should
now.
Preach about this weekend.
I think that's what I'm going to preach about. I'll just show a film of the game, LeBron's post game when he whines and walks out. Uh-huh. This is stupid. It's like, okay, man. Well, you're the team leader, so if you're going to do that, then the rest of your guys are just going to complain as well. Even your coach is complaining. Like,
this message is called Rethinking Your Refs.
Rethinking the refs.
Mm-hmm.
But enough about the Nuggets. And before I say that, Jokic doing Despicable Me ads.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Fantastic.
Just another gift. I love that guy so much.
Phenomenal.
Yep. Really want to get him on this podcast. Kayla,
what
are we working
did,
on that?
Apparently Merlot teach your son about Troy
Oh,
Bolton.
Yeah, so we got Zeke got really into basketball because of Space Jam. So we've talked through, because then he wanted to watch the LeBron Space Jam. Not good.
No.
But
I'd say the original was more clutch than the LeBron Space
nice.
Jam.
Yeah. So I made it very clear to him.
It's like 100 out of 100.
Yes. That LeBron is a great basketball player.
Right.
Let him know that. But Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time.
Okay.
And right now on Earth, Nikola Jokic, who Zeke calls Koola Jokic, is the greatest player on Earth.
He calls him what?
Koola.
Koola.
Koola Jokic.
I like that.
Then Haley Merlot was babysitting the boys. And when I got home later that night, Zeke was talking about basketball. And he's like, Dad, did you know there's a better player than Jokic? And I was like, no, there's not. So that's false. And what's the guy's name?
Troy Bolton.
He said Troy Bolton is the best player. And I didn't know
musical.
Who that was. And I found that out. I didn't know at the time. I'm not trying to be like masculine. I've never, never watched High School Musical. So I didn't know who it was. And I was in my head there's a guy in the NBA named Troy Bolton. I've never heard of it. That's not true. And then I thought Haley's an Arkansas Razorback. I was like, oh, is there a guy that played at Arkansas that I'd never heard of named Troy Bolton that she thinks is that good?
That's funny.
Until I asked Steph and she was like, that's
High School Musical guy.
So then I had
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron.
Dude, I'm wearing my Bolton ones.
There you go.
There it is.
So Troy I literally was like having a very clear conversation with Zeke, like, that's not a real person. And if he was, he's not as good as Jokic. We need to be really sure about this, that Haley is not telling you the truth. She's
just
messing with me.
Dude, I was at the coffee shop a couple of days ago and a song came on.
Blasphemy.
That was from a musical. And it was so catchy. And I was like trying to be cultured. Like, I should know like what musical this is from. So I was about to text Samantha and be like, hey, you like which Broadway show is this? And I Googled it and it was High School Musical.
What year did that come out?
Just an iconic.
What year did that come out?
Regal, legendary musical.
Okay, so I was like graduating
about some high school kids.
Obviously, I wasn't watching
High School Musical. That would have been perfect
no,
for you.
No, not my thing. Anyway.
The book is a musical. Just so you guys know, there are songs.
I am the pentameter is how you're supposed to read it.
The pick and roll and dance is a great play.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. So great. Yeah. Choreographing basketball plays.
Oh, man.
And dances.
Kayla, do you have any questions for us?
Remember the guy?
Book release episode?
I do have
What's the old Disney
questions.
Movie really quick, by the way, with the two sisters? Heidi and Heather, I think.
Double teamed.
But the guy who breaks down final scene,
so bad.
The
Is
final
they,
play
like,
in the basketball game.
Bodies and one plays basketball or
no,
something?
No, no,
no. There's two sisters. They're twins in high school, and they're on the...
Dude, it's the best.
They're just on the varsity basketball team. But the final play, there's a guy...
The
way he breaks it down.
The clock is at like 5 seconds when she begins like her move. And he's breaking down. He's like, so let's say this is real time because it's like a 40-second scene. And he's like, so the time expired like 30 seconds ago and she's still driving. And the way that like the cuts are so bad that there's nobody guarding her. Yeah. But then in the next cut, the defender's right there. Yeah. It was just like very bad.
And there's
editing.
Nobody on set that knows sports. No, you can tell. Dude. Remember in college... We had a phase where it was like, let's watch terrible movies. Yeah. And they made Mean Girls 2.
Yes.
And I think there was a sports scene of some kind at the end. Right. And it was as
yeah,
if
there
like,
was.
They weren't even like following the rules.
Someone just grabbed a camera in a random field and was like, I don't really know how the game works, but just run around and we'll just celebrate.
Couldn't
like,
find,
so,
you
so
couldn't find
football.
Anybody who understands a sport.
Any so
sport.
Bad.
Yeah.
It'd be like one.
Yeah, I think it was flag football.
Nobody called their grandpa.
No, dude.
Hey. how does football work? And like, yeah. 1 minute, give
no,
us
no like
basics.
Lighting guy on set was like, hey, so just so you guys know, this
not
isn't
one,
how it works.
Not a single person.
That's amazing.
Hey, I know I'm the lighting guy, but I gotta say
what
something.
What you're doing
in.
Is not anything.
This isn't how you do football. Yeah. This isn't what football is.
So like we put a little effort into this.
Yeah. The budget on Mean Girls 2 didn't seem to be
no. Yeah.
too high.
Yes.
Anyways.
Because of the Canadian tax.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's all because of that. Yeah.
Questions?
I have quite a few questions.
Oh, geez.
Here we go.
Allow me to.
Lightning round. Sure.
Well, in light of the Nuggets win last night.
Yes.
With the buzzer beater.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, no problem. Which sport would you guys want to win on a buzzer beater? Or it could be like the last opportunity, like golf or something.
It's easy for me. What Jamal Murray lived out my childhood dream last night is basketball, for sure. Like the amount of times in our driveway, that I would play that exact scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where you and then you miss it, but you keep doing it until
it would take me four or five.
Four, brick. Okay, get it back.
Oh, just kidding.
Just kidding. There was a foul on the floor.
Yeah. 3 seconds.
My childhood dream would be, have always been a walk-off home run in the game 7 of the World Series.
Oh,
so electric.
Me too.
Wow.
Yep.
But to chip in to win the Masters or something.
Yeah.
That's up there.
Man.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Also. Yeah. Yes.
Those are all great.
Thank you, Kayla.
Yeah,
thank
Tiger Woods winning the Masters in 2019 over Brooks Koepka, missing a putt on 18.
Love that.
Unreal. Uh-huh.
Brooks from Live.
Was a meme I saw recently. Some woman posted on some kind of Reddit or something. It was like, what do men want? And somebody answered, for Tiger to win another Masters. That's it. That's just all, man. That's it.
It's good.
Yeah. Dude, we all wanted it.
Yep.
That is mm-hmm.
That's good. Yep. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Well, now, also in light of Ryan writing a book, which book would you guys want to read? Or not read, write, sorry. That would you guys want to write if you could write a book?
Oh,
and
wow.
Ryan, you can do another type of book. It could be any genre.
Ooh.
Man. A zoo book?
Remember the zoo book video?
Yes.
Those were so...
Well, Will and kids are learning all about animals. Yeah. I feel like that's just what they learn about every year. It's just,
they still sell zoo books.
They go through the animals.
Oh, just hit my elbow.
Yeah. Literally, Kinsley came home from school yesterday. I'm like, sweetie, what'd you learn about? And she said, critters.
Critters.
We spent all day learning about critters.
Critters?
Yeah. That's what Kinsley's...
lesson plan?
Kinsley's learning about critters all week. And playing on the playground.
What classifies as a critter? What classifies as a critter and what doesn't?
I think just things that crawl.
Split hoof or how do we?
I don't know, man. I'm guessing insects, amphibians, and reptiles.
But wouldn't a squirrel be a critter?
I don't know.
Kayla, can you just call research on critters?
That's why I'm
what
like,
is
why?
A critter?
I don't think that's even technical at all, Kins.
No. that's true.
That's such a great answer. I would love to write a fantasy fiction series at some point where I can just make up a whole world.
Wow.
It says, a critter is an informal word for any living creature from a wolf to a spider.
A wolf?
A wolf is not a critter. That's
no.
If a wolf is running at you, you're not like, oh, look at this critter. No. Is that Google?
I've said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You said that?
Yeah.
You had that experience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should write a book
you
about
see
that.
A wolf? Look at that critter.
That critter.
Wow.
Oh, that you critter's coming after me.
Yeah.
Critter today. You should write that.
Ethan got killed by a critter. A wolf.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
Critters, man.
Yeah.
But she says it with so much confidence.
So
no,
good.
They're critters. Yeah.
I'm going to... Anyway, what book would you write?
I'm writing a book, actually.
Let's go, Dougie.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
The phones are buzzing.
I can tell.
Rumor mill.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah. Let's go.
No release date yet.
Tell them I'm not here. Do not disturb that phone.
God,
busy writing.
Wow. Everybody, leave us alone.
That's my one.
The weight distribution is, you know.
Must be the texture.
Must have been the font color.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are, do you want to say anything about it or did you just?
Oh, sure. It's called What Does God Have Planned For Me Next?
Ooh.
Wow.
Yep. And I would say of the 1,500 pastoral meetings I've had over the last decade, the most common theme of every single one of those meetings and the questions everybody's asking, what does God have planned for me next? How do I figure it out? How do I hear from him?
That sounds
How
relevant.
How do I step
Doug.
Into it? How do I take hold of that?
That sounds like a timely message.
Yeah, it's kind of just a conglomeration of like all those pastoral meetings.
Let's go.
And things I've learned.
Let's go.
Do you want me to write the thing for the cover? Little tagline for you?
Oh, sure.
Let me know how many words, what the word count is.
Yeah, dude.
I'll start working on that. That's what I want to write.
Just Granger one with four words.
It should be raw, real, and encouraging.
Ethan
Mattat. Host of the most popular podcast on planet Earth.
Yeah, I'd probably write a like biopic story of Afterthoughts. Just kind of how.
Yeah, everybody's asking, how did this start?
Like, what's the story behind this?
What
story?
Are the small beginnings? And how did you not despise them? Because now it has taken over the world.
Yeah, the right. Yeah.
Such a great use of that Bible verse.
So good.
That's the Bible verse that gets used to help everybody feel better about everything.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a legit verse.
Yeah.
And it's a legit verse.
Yeah, it's legit. It's real. Okay, Ryan?
Literally in that season right now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for it.
We had to tell ourselves that a lot when we made a documentary.
Oh, dude.
Oh,
and when
what if it's just for one person, it's worth it.
What if I despise the small ending of the project? What if I,
when we planted a church.
Peak.
You really shouldn't do that.
Dude, some of those
just
days
like
you gathered.
Shouldn't judge this by the cover. You're not supposed to do that.
I'm matching the cover.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Doug's matching the text inside.
Yeah. Another question.
We're speeding right through this.
This is great. This is really good.
Well, we did some serious conversation. We're kind of now shifting to where we have more serious conversation up front sometimes, which is
spicy.
That'll make it. That'll be like part two of my book about Afterthoughts.
Let's be honest. Everybody's here for the jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. We know what the people want.
If you don't like to have fun, then you will not like us. And some people really don't. So,
if you're not joyful, then you're most people.
Yes.
And maybe lighten up. You need this.
Lighten up.
Yeah.
Lighten up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my last question.
Oh, finally.
Oh, I know. Oh, woo. What a time. Who is a leader you would want to be under their leadership for a year?
A year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hmm.
Great question. Like a currently living person or?
You guys get to pick. I don't.
Free choice.
Sure.
Okay. Under their leadership for a year.
I mean, my answer is the guy whose leadership I'm under. Yeah. Sean.
Yeah.
However, just for fun.
Jesus. Yes, that's the best answer. Sean. But Sean is great, too.
The guy who saved my life. He gave me an opportunity. Sean Johnson. But Sean, for real.
For real, man. He's the best.
Yeah, he
is. Okay, I'm going to say George Washington because I've always been fascinated with the fact that they wanted to make him a king and he refused it because he understood what nobody else could, that we can't do that again because that's what created all these problems, is giving one man too much power.
Hmm?
So his humility that I read about, I would love to spend a year with G-Dub. D-O-G Prez, as they call him.
I thought you were about to rhyme that whole thing. Because he understood what no one else could, that just
because he should doesn't mean that he would.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't write poetry. I write behind-the-scenes stories about this podcast. It's not poetry.
You don't secretly write poems every morning when you wake up? You'd strike me as a guy who would do that.
I wrote some poetry in high school for class.
Oh, yeah?
And my teacher said it was decent.
Wow.
And it'd get back to that.
Wow. Well, that, yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Yeah.
I'll send you guys some.
It's okay.
There's a few going through my mind. There's a guy named Donald Miller, who's a phenomenal author, turned, like, marketer. And I think that's my answer right now. I would love to hang out with him.
Yeah, great.
Nice. Those are great.
Interesting array of answers there.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer for that, Kayla?
All the topics.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Do you have someone you'd like to say for leadership?
Captain America.
Cap.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, I just finished this morning the book Mind Shift that you guys gave us.
Erwin.
Yeah. So I feel
Shout out to Erwin.
A great person to be under since that's what he does for basically a living.
Yeah. What'd you think of the book?
It was really good.
It's awesome, right?
Yeah. It was really good.
Yes.
Have you shifted?
Totally.
Good.
A whole new mind shift, 180. Wow.
Well, good. If you have new segments as part of the shift
on
the
podcast, we'll know why.
Let me know just because I need to think about that for the third part of my book.
This segment is dedicated to Erwin McManus. It's a shift from question to
segment.
Sponsored by Mind Shift and Single Today. Is this official sponsor of the podcast?
Yeah, yeah. No? Congratulations. I was going to tell you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yep. That's got you this kind of, copy.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. When did you realize that you loved writing?
On the trip in 2012. We were traveling for a year, and there was so much downtime along the way. And we literally didn't take our cell phones with us. Like,
it was very healthy.
Incredibly healthy. There's also like so much time waiting for buses to show up and layovers and all this downtime. Yeah. Oh. And I had a bunch of notebooks
so
with me.
Nice.
And I would just start writing stories. Mm-hmm. The final few weeks of the trip, we were in South Africa hanging out. We were at a spot called Jeffreys Bay for a couple of days, surfing and catching our breath. But I would go to this, remember that there was a lifeguard tower?
Yeah,
down from our Airbnb.
I got a shot on the camera of you on that tower.
Yep. Did you really?
Yeah. So if we can find it,
I know where
send
it is.
It to Jacob.
I know where it is. That would be awesome.
Doug knows where it is.
That's Jacob. I'll send it to you. Do you know how to get it onto this video?
Can you 3D print it onto the podcast?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's.
Here it is.
Let's do it.
Look at the picture and tell us about that moment.
So that was the moment. That's really,
wow.
This is sinking in for me. Send that picture to me and I'll post it. And then whoever's listening to Afterthoughts, comment Afterthoughts.
And if they do,
we will send you
the picture.
The picture.
A digital copy.
Dude, an NFT of this picture. Yeah.
We'll get sent
this
to
is
you.
One of the best marketing campaigns ever.
Yeah. You can have this.
The phones are blown up again. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Doug doesn't have time. Yes. He's writing his book.
Yes. Just, we'll send you the picture. Yes. You'll get a digital NFT.
Let me finish the book.
A non-fungible token. No, I don't know what that is. No, it's not real. Of course, that's not a real thing. Yeah, you're paying for a screenshot, basically. But we'll send it to you. Well, you got to comment Afterthoughts when Ryan on his account posts the picture from Jeffreys Bay of him on the lifeguard tower that we're looking at right now. So,
is that JJ? Who is that?
It was LeBron.
Oh, it was. He's complaining about the refs. No, this is actually really, really cool. This is sinking in. On that lifeguard tower, I realized how much I struggle sometimes to process information and everything that's happened in my past, but writing for me is this amazing creative outlet that allows me to do that. And then at the same time, it combines that with telling stories, which is my favorite thing to do. The book really is just my story the whole time. And then there's like thoughts woven in, of course. But I remember just sitting there going like, oh, I can do this.
I can do this.
And I'm halfway decent at it. And I wasn't back then. I've written a lot of very mediocre things since then. But that's where the love sparked.
So when you got assigned like to write a story or a project in school growing up, did you like that or was it just kind of like homework?
It was just homework.
Interesting.
Yeah, it really wasn't until college and then the trip that I... Although there were a few moments growing up where I'd have ideas for stories and would start writing, but I was never any good at it. Mm. I never thought I was any good at it.
Mainly because back then you had to write things.
And my handwriting is...
That's pointless for you.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could never read it.
Truly terrible handwriting.
Truly terrible.
But good typing.
Yes.
Your font is very clear to read. Yeah, so that's good. What font is it?
It is...
Oh, there's two different fonts. I know that.
There are two different fonts.
Whoa, why?
Why is that, Doug?
The interludes.
So at the end of every section is a spot called Mary's Interlude, where I tell Mary of Bethany's story in three parts. She has three encounters with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's the first is the classic Mary and Martha story. Second is when Lazarus passes away. And then the third is when she anoints Jesus.
Yeah.
And those lined up so perfectly with the three sections of the book. And so I kind of go into like stories in scripture mode and tell the story a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
So those parts really mean a lot to me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what font that is. This is maybe Calibri?
Dude, there's...
I was going to say Calibri, Cambria regular.
Wingdings? Webdings? Remember that?
That's from the new Papyrus movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You read these first four lines, man. It's a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, here we go. Just a random page.
Come on.
I can hear the birds again, I said. This is Ryan saying that, not me.
Okay.
What?
That's you.
I ask. Ryan says. It's confusing when I'm reading it as you. It's tough to do. I'm going to rephrase this. I can hear the birds again, Ryan said. What? Ethan asked. I said I can hear the birds again, Ryan said. That's cool, man, Ethan said. Sounds like something I would say. That was the conversation I had with Ethan while I was on my way out of Yosemite National Park.
That was the conversation. What?
Gosh, it's. I guess I'm a little bit taken aback by how much I contributed to this book.
I feel like context, that's a really sweet moment.
I didn't realize
I basically have many conversations to draw from, like, between you and him.
Let me reread
that's
two.
The most. That's the deepest conversation the two of you have ever had.
The two things that I said in this conversation were what? And that's cool, man.
That's cool, man. But, but it's the tone that you use, dude.
I guess now I feel like I should be getting royalties. Or my name maybe should be like featuring Ethan Mattat with some really meaningful moments.
When you get to that part in the book,
What a gift that I turned to that.
How sentimental that moment really is.
Happy to help. You're welcome, man. Glad I could help you on your journey.
Dude, also, there was a moment in college when I was in an acting for non-majors, and Ethan was helping me run lines, which that right there is just insane. We were just in the kitchen. And the line was, it was talking about climbing Mount Rainier.
And praise God for that education. You know what I mean? Yeah,
yeah. We all took acting for non-majors. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just an elective class.
Uh-huh.
That was worth it.
Yep.
So they're having a conversation about Mount Rainier, and the line is, look, Mount Rainier, and then they go into like explaining how hard it is to climb. But Ethan's just like cooking lunch halfway, like present. And tell us how you read that.
Look, Mount Rainier.
I love that.
It's always
I
made
just
me
made
laugh.
Up a joke.
Back then, I wouldn't have thought that I would become an actor.
Yeah, dude.
But you wouldn't have thought you'd be an author, so look at us all now.
I wouldn't have thought I'd be a professional joke maker.
Let's hear it.
I just thought of one. How do you know if somebody's climbed Mount Rainier?
Tell us.
They tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
They love to talk about climbing Mount Rainier.
Yeah. Very true.
Yes.
People like to tell you if they've climbed a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're done with the questions at this point, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
I can hear the birds again, man. Don't worry.
All right.
That's cool, man.
That's cool, man.
Well, I'll pray us out.
That's cool, man. Another question.
What?
For my notepad.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
It's like in Forgetting Sarah
just
Marshall.
Helping shape my friends.
I'm going to put that quote on goodreads.com.
That's
from
cool,
Single Today. That's cool, man.
Ethan Mattat. Yeah.
You know that scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall where he's playing she wants him to play the vampire song in the bar? And he's like, I can play something else. I just feel like out of context. This may not make
Dracula.
That's what that reading that is.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good example of why it's out of a good heart by why a lot of people like their method of reading the Bible. It's like, I'm just going to open to a random page. It's like, well, out of context, sometimes that's going to be a really weird way to read the Bible. Not always helpful.
Good.
Don't do that with Single Today either, because you'll think that I'm too good of a friend.
Let's see, God, what do you want from me?
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's probably just another part where Ryan's like saying some meaningful thing. I'm like, nice.
To go to Disney World.
Oof.
I guess. Okay. Great chapter.
The Disney World chapter.
But enough about my influence on Ryan's life. Why do you think it's so hard for human beings to be content? Because this book is really about contentment. It doesn't just apply to singleness.
Yeah.
And your message when you just preached about it, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so difficult to be content as a human being?
I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. I've been writing too much about it.
If you say yours, I'll tell you my afterthought.
And then I'll just close the loop with a quick one line. Like, nice.
Yeah. Man, that guy can drop those at the perfect time, dude. I tell you what.
Yeah. Gift of encouragement.
I think that the world is set up to keep us focused on the past and preoccupied with the future. And I think that there's a whole lot of systems involved in this, but I think that we also add to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm part of the problem. We just create a lot of noise online. Not that this. We just do these silly podcasts.
Just ramble about
just mindless, mindless, numbing.
Yes.
Lulling people to sleep.
Comment afterthoughts. You're going to get a picture of Ryan. There's a lot of noise out there. We said in episode one that we wanted this podcast to be good noise.
Mm-hmm.
And
have we done that?
For some part, we have.
Yeah.
Some part.
Yeah. I think that there is a lot of.
So it's been
a lot of reminders. Okay, here's the world is set up to keep us preoccupied with the past and the future. And we, by and large, have a very difficult time facing the pain mm-hmm. in our own lives mm-hmm. that is a necessary prerequisite for us to be present in this moment. So you really have two options. Mm. You can just continue to be preoccupied with other stuff, or you can do the inner work of going, yeah. hey, why do I feel discontent right now? Like, for example, me this morning, I posted a video of me walking, this walk I always did when I was writing the book. And then was like, hey, it's launch day. I'm gonna sit here and pray for the book. And then I post it. I'm like, okay, put the phone down and now let's actually pray. Mm. And I like sat down and stood up and sat down yeah. and stood up because there's a lot yeah. going on in my life oh, right yeah. now, right? And in those moments, I have two options. I can like get my phone back out and keep being like, I wonder who liked this. Or yeah. I can fight mm. to very imperfectly stay in it and go, okay, God, what's going on right now? Of course, I'm very excited about this book and I worked really hard on it. There's also some of my identity I'm trying to put in this book and find in this book and hoping to find validation from other people. And I wonder mm-hmm. who texted me and I wonder if somebody left a review. Like all of that is very real, right?
Yeah. yeah.
And it's human.
Yeah.
But it requires just going, okay, God, I just want to talk to you about this. Like, can we just be, that's what this book is. It's been such a gift for me because it reminds me that God just wants to be Emmanuel, God with us. Hey, Ryan, I want to be with you in the middle of the storm that you're in right now. And so to whoever's watching this, if you ever struggle to do that inner work, just know like there's no shame here. Like God just wants to be in it with you. And there's no like win. Yeah, like you don't win your quiet time. You do your quiet time.
Yeah.
You be and you invite God into that silence. And I believe the reason we have such a hard time being content where we are is because we just, for a number of reasons, keep refusing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's a great answer.
Thanks, man.
I think we need to intellectually.
That's cool, man.
What?
Now to you.
Great transition. Yeah. Man, you're good at that.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Mount Rainier.
So when I climbed Mount Rainier.
Oh, here we go.
I've been content gosh. Ever since. As long as people listen to me telling the story. I think we need to intellectually understand that more of what we already have that is not working is not the answer.
Well,
And I'm not the exception. You know, even Solomon in the Bible, his whole life was an experiment. He had everything under the sun, everything, and the wisdom to steward it all. And his life was a giant experiment to see if you can find contentment in it. And his conclusion at the end of his life was, all meaningless stems from one person's like envy or comparison of another. It's just a chasing after the wind. And we all know that because we're all like, I guess if you want to be content for a few hours, take a couple pills or have a few drinks. Hmm. If you want to be content for a few days, buy a new Apple product. Hmm. If you want to be content for a few weeks or a month, buy a new car. Hmm. If you want to be content for 6 months, buy a house.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the end, it's just chasing wind.
It's just stuff, man.
It's just going to be in garage sales mm-hmm. a year yeah. from now. And we all know that.
Yeah.
But we keep tricking ourselves into thinking it's like the carrot on a stick that we're all chasing. It's like I know that deep down, but I'm going to ignore that mm-hmm. and go buy that thing because for the next 2 days, it's going to give me sort of a counterfeit taste of contentment. Mm. And we all just need to logically...
Yeah.
Look at that and be honest about it and go, okay, more of what I already have that's not working is obviously not going to work. Mm. So there has to be another well to find contentment in. And the good news about like once you do the work and you find that contentment and completion, then all that other stuff, the Apple product, the house, the car, you enjoy it more because you need it less
because
yeah. you're not counting on that thing to be the contentment that you're
that's so
seeking.
Good.
Yeah.
I've heard it said contentment's the greatest wealth there is. Mm-hmm. Wow. And if you can figure that out, you are, you know, you're miles ahead of everybody else who is searching for it.
That's so
that's what keeps, I mean, our country going is a desperate search for contentment.
Right.
Just a little bit more, just a little bit a little more. And those who have out, I wouldn't even say like it's a revelation. I think it's just, you just outsmart it.
Yeah.
And you just intellectually look at it and be honest about your life and go, it's obviously it's not found in this. Yeah. And that's not to say these things are bad, but it clearly is found somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a, some, I don't know a term for it, but in human nature, there's some sort of fallacy that every human believes that they are the exception to what's true for everybody else.
Yeah.
We all have a way of believing that.
Yeah.
So we know that as a fact. Yeah. This is not going to deliver, but everyone is like, but for me, it probably will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It will work. Like how, you don't need another celebrity to show you how miserable their life is, though they have everything that you are striving for right now, right? There's so many stories of that.
Right.
But for some reason,
yeah,
we tend to think we're the exception. We do that with many things, with the grace of God. So many of us, it's like, I hear in theory that God loves me and that Jesus died for me, but I can't actually believe that's true for me. I can't forgive myself. I can't let go of what I did or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is in us, that we believe we're the one exception to things that are true for everyone.
I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a part of us that we have to dissociate for a second and kind of lie to ourselves a little bit because it gives us some hope, you know, where we go, I'm like really kind of pretending that this is going to do it.
Yeah.
And if I go into that world and I truly start to just believe it, then for this next week, I'm going to have that fulfillment.
Yeah.
You know, even though like, you do know,
right.
You know, because you've been down this road so many times before, but you're, you know, you got to cope for this next week. And so let me kind of lie to myself and say, this is going to be it.
It's like I don't know. Like Paul uses the language of like flesh or old self, like that part of you that still wants to hold on to like self-preservation.
Yeah.
I think that part of us is just real. And we just have to, like, even this many years into the sanctification process, we still have to put off the old self and put on the new self. I've been reading Sermon on the Mount on repeat recently, and there's so many layers to that thing. And it's Jesus preaching a sermon, Matthew 5-7, and he's saying a lot of really hard things. And there's a lot of like really good, sound, practical advice in there. The more I read it, though, I'm like, oh, I think what he's really saying beyond all of that is, you guys understand that all of this is passing away, right? And if you just realize that it's all temporary, then you're not going to be so angry. Right. And you're not going to allow yourself to be filled with so much lust. And you're not going to do all of these things. And it's like deeper than what he's saying. It's like there's this invitation to just let it all go.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that contentment that we're talking about is. But that part of us that goes, nope, I'm going to keep going. Mm-hmm. That part keeps us chasing the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was very purposeful, obviously, that Jesus didn't have status and power and wealth and those things when he was on earth, but also that just wouldn't have appealed to him, that stuff, because it's so worldly. And he's just like, oh, I see the much bigger picture of all this. Like, that stuff's not going to bring me contentment at all. I don't need that stuff. But people didn't know what to do with that.
Mm-mm.
So shocking to human beings for someone to truly be content, which I think is kind of true with you when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
Like at the deepest level of why people aren't content, I think it's because we can't truly be satisfied in God. Like, we have such a hard time really living that life. David says in the Psalms, like, I am satisfied in you.
Yeah.
But I think for most humans, that feels impossible, or else we don't really believe it or try for it.
Right.
Because if you truly find your contentment in who he is, knowing that we all have a deep relational need in us, that longing is God-given for relationship.
Yeah.
But we try to fill it with everything else other than him.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think there's people that like kind of hear like that you're content as a single person. They're like, that can't be true though. I can't believe you, but you really have found contentment in your relationship with God. To say, this is everything I need. Not that you perfectly live that out, of course, but it's very foreign to a world that is so discontent to meet somebody like that, which is why you have the authority, I think, to actually write a book like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Tell me about this. How many times over the course of conversations about this book, preaching about this topic, do you feel like the audience hears your message but doesn't actually hear you?
Yeah. Like every time.
Yeah. Like conversations, people reaching out, like what's that? What's like the layer you're trying to crash through? Like so many people that would be like, yeah. Like we were joking about. I get it. Like I'm totally content. You're like, No. Because you're seeing this as a dating book that's really just going to help you meet somebody versus a finding contentment in myself book so I could actually be healthy if I ever do walk into a relationship. Yeah. How do you crash through that wall? Or do you feel like that's this thing you can't break with some of your audience?
It used to really frustrate me. Now I just see it as an opportunity to remind people to get the order right. So it used to be this thing where it's like, but you're not hearing what I'm really saying.
Right.
And now I just realize like, no, it's this book will meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And some people will just laugh and cry a little bit and find some contentment. And that's great. Other people will hear what I'm really saying, like the layer beneath the layer.
Yeah.
And it will be transformative for them. And yes. I think I'm just getting to a point where I go, okay, I think that's what good art is. Is I crafted it for 4 years to the best of my ability. Yeah. And then I just let it speak to me. I remember, shout out to JJ, Ethan's brother, from episode 22. I don't know, somewhere around
back
there.
Then.
I remember him, some music he put out when we were in college. There was a song that really spoke to me called Mountains. Mm-hmm. And I brought to him like what it meant to me. And I remember him just being like, yeah, that's really cool. That's like the point is that this is going to affect you.
He probably said,
this
that's way. Cool, man.
That's cool.
That's kind of what our family
it's a big Matat thing to say.
Whoa, dude. That's deep.
Yeah.
But to not have to like, no, actually, Ryan, this is what it means.
I wrote the song for.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it is it will meet people where they're at and it'll mean different things to different
that's
people.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think that's why Jesus was always just like, look, I'm going to tell you these things, and for some of it, it's going to be seed that falls on shallow ground. For others, it'll take root.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it's an interesting question to pose it this way. Like, if this represents contentment today,
yeah,
and then this represented like the thing that you want most. Mm-hmm. So, for a lot of people, maybe reading this book, it's the thing I want most is a marriage or a spouse. Mm-hmm. For some people listening to this right now, it might be the thing they want most is to be out of their marriage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Or this is a house, or this is a specific job, or this is, you know, a specific platform or amount of influence that you want, whatever this is. Hmm. If you're given the choice, would you rather have contentment or this thing?
That's a great question. Hmm.
And I think that's
really the question.
Yeah. It's like a lot of us will read this or hear messages about contentment and we'll really hear it about getting this.
Yeah.
Because once you get this, you think, that's when I'll be content. And the only reason you really want this is because your soul is craving contentment. You just think this is the doorway to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But contentment today, that's why they say it's the greatest wealth that there is. You should pick contentment today
over
anything and everything else, you know?
Sometimes we play the like game of, oh, if I pretend I'm content, then I'll get to this. Oh, right. I hear now that maybe I need to learn to be content so that when I walk into a relationship, I'll actually steward it and handle it well. So I'm going to put a face up that I'm content. It's like, no, there's a deep dive that you do here, which I think is one of the hopes of this book is for single people that really desire to get married, which is great.
Yeah.
That this book will be a tool so that they find contentment in themselves so they don't go crush their future spouse with being everything to them.
Yeah.
That they don't expect that marriage to deliver everything they want, and it will lead to actually a lot of healthy marriages, which will be the very
My prayer. Yeah. Man, I've prayed so much that this book would lead to very healthy marriages.
Yeah.
That it would help single people who are stuck get unstuck. Mm-hmm. It'll help married people who are stuck get unstuck. But ultimately it'll lead us to realize that it's not this, it's actually this. And from there, like there will be a lot of really healthy marriages where two people are going, hey, we're both content. Also, we make a really good team. And so let's go pursue the stuff, the dreams God has given us from a place of contentment together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's actually a good thing to just define what this is for you. And there's nothing wrong with saying it out loud.
Good.
I've been doing that in a lot of meetings
What's
recently.
Yours?
A lot of meetings recently.
Was Apple products.
Yeah.
A car.
Probably the Apple Watch Ultra, the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be content.
Yeah.
Probably for 3 weeks if I got
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, I cut you off.
There's nothing wrong with defining what this is for you in your life. Jesus even asked that question to a lot of people. What is it that you want?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do for you? Mm-hmm. When I ask people that question in meetings, a lot of time they go, like they'll kind of freeze because then all of a sudden you feel like it's wrong to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you think it. all the time. Mm-hmm. Just say it out loud. What
language.
Do you really want?
Great.
And I think it's okay for us just to say it out loud. Yeah. This is what's in my heart. This is the desire I have. I want to be married. I want to be influential. I want this job. I want, okay, great. Say it.
Say it.
Say it and then trust God with it. And then understand the reason you want it is because you want contentment.
Right.
And if you can trust God with this, Jesus says, what do you want? Okay, now give that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the rich young ruler.
Right.
Just give it to me. Just give it to me. I'm trying to help you mm-hmm. see that there's something deeper than everything that you have and everything that you want. And you never know. You might get all of that. And then once you do, it's now house money. Because you have the real treasure that you're looking for.
Because most of the time, this isn't a bad thing.
No.
These are usually great things.
No,
but it is good to ask the question, why do you want this thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because then you can dive into the layers of what you believe that's going to deliver in your life and maybe find beforehand that some of the things you are hopeful in are not the point of it. Like if someone were to say, I really want to get married.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, well, let's talk about why that is. That's the thing that you want most in your life. Well, because I've always wanted to be a parent.
Yeah.
That's great. Like having kids is a chief point of marriage. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But you already just bypassed your spouse to get to your kids.
Right.
So we got to stop there
because
you're already seeing marriage as a tool to deliver to you something that is part of marriage, but not the whole point of marriage.
Yeah.
And if that's your whole reason, you're going to resent your spouse very quickly in that marriage. So it's good to dive into the specifics of why do you want this thing that you believe is going to deliver contentment to you? And what parts of it are maybe wrong right now, what parts of it won't actually deliver contentment to you, or you have a wrong version in your mind of what that will look like.
Right.
Then get a realistic picture of it and then reframe it back into, okay, but what would like God have for me if I was healthy and content and then received that gift and sought in the proper context?
Because I don't have to wait for this to start experiencing and walking in the fullness of contentment that he has available to me. I remember for like me and Sam, for 10 years of marriage, we've always just enjoyed like our ideal day dates now is like, let's go get lunch and then let's go to some model homes and walk around and just dream a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you walk through and you go, oh babe, like this would be so great. This home would be so great. But then we ask why? And that actually, it is a good question. And the answer is really good. I think for us, it's like we walk around and imagine that dining table and all of our friends here watching a game, making dinner together. There's like really good community and it's taking place. And then realizing, remember we realized this in our first condo in Littleton. Oh, we don't have to have this home to start cultivating that and experiencing that now.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not the home, it's actually the memory that you see happening here in it.
Right.
And so how do you can actually find that today. You don't have to wait. You're not in an off season on a layover waiting for the real thing to begin. Like God's real plan and this, whatever this is in the way. It's not, it's on the way and part of it.
That's it.
And you can start finding that in strategic and creative ways today.
That's good.
You know?
That's it, man.
Yeah.
That's
perfect. Finding that journey, like back to the example of I want to be a parent. If you can find contentment in yourself and then you find it in your marriage, then you'll be such a better parent. And that child will grow up not as the thing you needed to give you your identity, but instead this gift that you steward well and hold with open hands because you're content.
Exactly.
So it's a good exercise.
Yeah. It's a great exercise.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And just as a general rule of thumb, the more you feel like you need this in order to get that, the more you have to ask that why question about this.
That's great.
It's Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
And the more of this you have, the more of this you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you don't need it.
Yes. And you won't worship the created thing. You will worship the creator.
Yeah.
Who gave it to you.
That's good. That was good.
That was good. Yeah.
That's cool,
this
man.
Is good.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks. Well, single today. It's out.
It's out.
So cool. Buy it, review it, share it, put it on social media, comment afterthoughts on the picture of Ryan on the lifeguard tower.
Obviously. I really hope I have that picture now.
Get this out there. Also, April 26th, Friday, Corey's first song comes out.
Yes.
Let's go, Corey.
Sound Mine.
Yep.
So promoting that as well.
Receive
Very
joy.
Exciting times.
Receive joy.
Sound.
Go single today.
Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you. And let me just say to close. You both have, you know this, but you have meant the absolute world to me. And the having you both in my corner along the way over the last 4 years, over the last, let's be real, lots and lots of years, but over the last couple years of writing this and you guys pushing me to go to those deeper corners of my heart and pull out the deep water really means the world. And so I love you both dearly. Love you, man. I'm just doing it for my free copy. So
take it. That one's yours.
That's mine.
Take it.
No, that is the sponsor for our podcast.
Oh, right.
That actual copy.
Well, perfect. Yeah. I don't want to get too sappy. Yeah. But I will say, that's cool, man.
Peace.